The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to top people and ideas. Presented by U-Mobile.
Shell is a British, Dutch multinational oil and gas company and incorporated in the UK. It is the sixth largest company in the world, measured by 2016 revenues of $233 billion, and is so large that its global revenues are equivalent to over 80% of Netherlands' GDP. Good morning, I'm Brian Fernandez, and with me is Istvan Kapitani, Executive Vice President, Global Fuel Retail for Shell. Istvan is here to tell us more about the business disruption in the energy business and how Shell is dealing with that and the evolving retail ecosystem. Welcome to the Breakfast Grill, Istvan.
Brian, hi, good morning. Thanks very much for the invitation. Pleasure to be here.
The energy business is going through a tremendous period of challenges, and in fact, oil prices are less than half they were 3 years ago. How has Shell weathered the storm, and how is Shell surviving today on $50 oil?
Shell is an integrated energy company, and I think one of the great advantages of our integration is that it is making the company far more resilient to changes in the external environment. And one big change, of course, in the energy industry can be oil price change. Shell is very diverse in its activities.
So give us some perspective in terms of your diversity.
So we do have an so-called upstream activity where we produce oil and gas. That's what people know as oil production and gas production. But we also do have a very strong, we call it downstream businesses, which are like refining oil, chemicals, trading and supplying, and of course marketing. And the marketing is the area I am responsible and accountable for. And marketing has one enormously great advantage, and that is that it's not a very cyclical business. So as you may see, Brian, when you go to Shell service stations or you buy Shell lubricants, if the quality of the service of the products are good, customers are coming to you. We've been in this business for 125 years. We are now in more than 80 countries in the world. We have over 43,000 service stations. And growing the business, despite the fact that the oil price is a cyclical type of activity, it doesn't have an impact on the retailing part of this. And later on, we can also talk about how the retailing element, of course, is changing, because it is not just fuels.
Yes, Istvan, I want to talk about that, because over the years, your petrol stations have evolved from petrol stations to convenience stores. Walk us through the evolution of convenience retail from Shell's perspective and how you reinvented the petrol station, essentially.
So, Brian, it's also somewhat linked to Malaysia in my own personal case. First time in my career, I came to this country in 1991, so you could see my age. Huh? and back then, I worked for Shell International as well. And we developed a concept called Select convenience stores that you could see now in Malaysia. We have over 600 Select convenience stores. So I'm very proud that already in 91 we started to explore, of course, the opportunities to offer customers a wider choice when they visit, back then a petrol station, today a service station, where we are offering customers a wide variety of different kind of products, food, drink, anything they need on their way to work, going home, to make their life journeys better, what they have every single day. So apart from offering them very high quality fuels and lubricants, we are offering more and more and more around the world convenience retail items and services with great partners, but also doing it ourselves. This is becoming a very significant part of the business. We do have an ambition that by 2025 globally, we would be having roughly around half of our total income coming from convenience retailing activities.
Looking at some of the numbers with convenience retailing, you handle 30 million transactions a day in Shell. You sell 250 million cups of coffee a year, and you have more sites than McDonald's or Starbucks. What is convenience retail as a business portfolio, and why is it important to Shell? So 50%, you said?
Yeah, so one of the great advantages of Shell, of course, is the huge amount of customers who are visiting us daily. So you mentioned the 30 million customers around the world. Put it into perspective, this is over 10 billion transactions a year that we are producing, and a growing number of those transactions, to surprise to many people, are not including petrol or diesel anymore. So, for example, in Europe, only 35% of our customers coming to our sites daily to buy fuel only. The rest of the customers are either buying only in the shop or they are buying shop and fuel at the same time. So this is a very changing lifestyle and habit what customers have out there. And of course, what you as a retailer should do is to actually follow where the customer is going. So we did a survey, which is a global survey called 5 Minutes Economy a couple of years ago. And what we found is that around 94% of the customers really prefer convenience as a main element of what they expect from a retailer.
And this 5 Minute Economy report is really about fuel retail, convenience retail, yeah. Fashion retail, right. And technology. Yeah. Yeah, tell us more about that.
Well, of course, you know, we have to look around and we have to find a way. So we established from this is that we need to be going far more towards convenience retailing and far more to the food and the drink categories. And what you could also see, I'm very happy to say that this is, we are sitting in Malaysia and Kuala Lumpur, so we don't just talk about other parts of the world. We're very happy to see that we, as we speak, we do have now 130 sites with, for example, Costa Coffee, which is basically a coffee experience that we have in many, many countries in the world. We do have over 35 sites with a really wide variety of different kind of food offers called Food Oasis. We do have over 600 select convenience stores where we offer customers a wide variety of different kind of products. This is all coming out from that global survey originally, that we need to go down on the path to diversify the type of products that we are offering to customers.
Ismail, let me touch on your Costa Coffee, because what I did as part of research for this grill is I visited three of your stores. One of the things I noticed is obviously you have a deli to go product, so that deli is a big part of your business. Indeed, obviously, you have your own branded products like mineral water.
That's right.
And this Costa Coffee product, very, very expensive. It's 10 to 11 ringgit per serving, but it's essentially vending machine coffee.
Yes.
What's the response? I know it's been very, very successful in the UK,
where
it's originated from.
Yeah.
It's from Whitbread.
Yeah.
But how is that working out in Malaysia?
It's working out fantastically. Costa is the leading on-the-go coffee retailer of the world. So it's not only in the UK, they do have operations. We actually very active with Costa. We work with them in places like Canada, like Czech Republic, like Malaysia. So we are basically spreading this great coffee, very high quality coffee, as you mentioned. It's a highly priced quality premium coffee, and it's going extraordinarily well. So in the Malaysian customers accepting, appreciating this offer, our sales per day, cup sales, so coffee cup sales per day, is very high compared to the fact that we just started recently. So as I said, we just have over 100 locations with Costa, and already the average sales that we have is higher than average sales we had in the UK when we started with this. So essentially what we find is that the customer acceptance of this very high quality coffee, because essentially it's brewed. You mentioned that it's a vending machine.
Yes.
Which, by the way, this is the way because you went in there and you looked at it. It is basically a coffee bean product which is brewed at the time when you are pushing that button. So it's a very, very high quality product. One of the reasons why Costa is able to be the leader in on the go because of that technology they are using, that they produce freshly brewed coffee at a very, very high quality. So the customer feedback we have, even in a market like Canada, which is very famous for coffee retailing, is extraordinarily strong. So we're very proud that we could bring Costa to Malaysia, and we have very ambitious plans with them to grow the network. And because as you know, we have over 900 service stations in Malaysia.
Yeah, you're the number one retailer here.
Malaysia is a very important market for us. So I am heading our global businesses, and it's not a surprise that I am here for the whole week, because this is a market which is currently the most important Asian market for us. Now, if you put it into perspective that, of course, in Asia, you have countries coming up like China, India, Indonesia. And I sit here and I say that Malaysia is the most important business we have in Asia. It tells you a lot about the positioning of the Malaysian market. So it's a very critical market for us. We invest a serious amount of money every single year into this business.
So what can a Malaysian consumer look forward to in terms of new innovations from your offerings?
Yes, so as you rightly say, you know, we do many, many things around the world which we bring into the different operating units. We talked about Costa, we talked about Select Deli to Go. We're very active, actually, in many of the markets in digital marketing. For example, we are the first company who actually, working together with Land Rover, brought a solution to the customers in the UK, and we are trying to introduce it in the world, where you can pay for your product from the dashboard of your car when you're filling up a car in the United Kingdom. So using mobile payment and using even connected car applications is something that we are planning to introduce in many more markets in the world. We also tremendously, you know, active in many markets about newer type of products bringing to the market, depending upon, of course, the market development. You might have seen that recently we announced that we bought New Motion, which is one of the biggest electric vehicle charging companies in Europe. We also just 2 weeks ago launched Share Recharge in the United Kingdom, where we are offering electric charging at our service stations that we plan to introduce globally. So you could see that we are really trying to react to the changes in mobility transition, in energy transition.
So let's drill down a little bit in terms of mobility transition, because that's essentially part of your move away from hydrocarbon solutions. Your acquisition of New Motion is 30,000 charge points for homes and businesses in Netherlands, Germany, France, and the UK. It also operates 50,000 charge points across 25 European countries. So in a master stroke, you have got broad reach. What's the strategy with that acquisition moving forward?
So we do have a new energies department in our business, which is basically tasked to work very hard on seeing the changes with energy transition. And energy transition, of course, is also resulting in mobility transition. We can see that in some parts of the world, electric vehicles are gaining quite a bit of a speed. So in the United States, in Norway, in China particularly, you could see now electric vehicle sales going up. What we believe is that our role to provide a mosaic of different kind of solutions for consumers. So if consumers would like to drive an electric vehicle, this is our role as a mobility retailer to provide them with the facilities to recharge their cars. And that's the reason why we are in it. Now, we also, you know, not in the position to dictate where the customers would like to do this. So if they want to do charge at home, that's one of the reasons why we bought New Motion. We would like to be providing them with this opportunity as well, to charge it at home. Because what we are interested in is what the customers want, rather than, you know, what we believe the customers would like to do. That's one of the big learning of the 5 minutes economy as well, is that I think the success of the retailers in the world will be depend upon their capability to react fast enough to the changes in the mobility world. So we talked about electric vehicle charging. I could also talk about our joint venture in Germany, where we aim to have 400 hydrogen filling stations by 2023, and we already have 7. And you might say, I even were asked recently that, you know, well, you have 7 hydrogen filling stations, but there aren't many hydrogen cars, are they? And the answer is yes. I mean, in whole Europe, it's roughly around 1,000 hydrogen cars now. But our role is to actually, because it's like a chicken and egg, isn't it? So you need to provide the infrastructure if you like to see something happening.
Yes.
And our role is to provide infrastructure. And if consumers and engine manufacturers and governments would be helping to grow, for example, hydrogen as a move of mobility, we're ready to do our job.
I'm Brian Fernandez, and I've been speaking to Isfan Kapitani, Executive Vice President, Global Fuel Retail from Shell. In just a bit, I will ask Isfan about the importance of Malaysia to Shell's overall business globally. Stay with us, BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U-Mobile.
On the Breakfast Grill this morning, we are with Isfan Kapitani, Executive Vice President, Global Fuel Retail from Shell. Isfan, moving on to the retail business and motorsport. MotoGP was held at the end of October in Malaysia, and Shell was the title sponsor for the event. Shell has been very active in motorsport sponsorship for decades, especially in Formula One, where you have been a Ferrari partner as long as the 1930s, when Enzo Ferrari drove for Alfa Romeo. Mm. Walk us through some of your sponsorship activities globally and how it has evolved over the years from maybe in the 50s and 60s and 70s, maybe just sticking a sticker on a car, to now an omni-channel engagement and activation strategy.
Yeah, it's a great part of our overall activity, and clearly we are very active in motorsport, perhaps the most active participants in technology participation. So as you mentioned, rightly so, with Ferrari, we have a very, very long partnership where we are the official technology partner of Ferrari. What we do with Formula One and with Ferrari is we develop our fuels and lubricants for the Ferrari team, so V-Power and Shell Helix Ultra, that they use as an official product in their car. We develop these products for the more severe racing conditions, and what we learn from this product development, we bring it to the road. So basically, we call it from the lab to the racetrack to the road. So what you can see, for example, V-Power with Dynaflex technology, we developed basically with Ferrari, and this is a product and this is a technology that customers can enjoy, of course, buying the product in Malaysia. That's a huge advantage for us because Formula One is perhaps one of the most severe racing you can imagine, what happens in an engine in a full race. We're also very proud that in the last 3 years, Ferrari announced that roughly around 25% of the engine development achievements in terms of efficiency came out from the fuels and lubricants development of Shell. Also very proud that if you translate it to horsepower, we're talking about roughly around 25 horsepower more what Shell fuels and lubricants are providing Ferrari with. And jokingly, I normally say that my first car had roughly around 25 horsepower, and that was an engine. And here we are talking about just fuels. So motorsport is very important. Ferrari is the most known. But as we had MotoGP here in Malaysia, in Kuala Lumpur.
Your partnership is with Ducati, right?
Indeed. And in MotoGP, we have Ducati as a partner and Shell Advance, which is the number one motorcycle lubricants in Malaysia, really is used by Ducati and developed for Ducati in order to actually show to our customers and to demonstrate to our customers the power of the lubricants that we use. And by the way, Ducati also using and testing V-Power. So it's very important to say, and particularly in markets like Malaysia, that we're not only concentrating on the motorists who are driving cars, we're also concentrating on the motorbike drivers, who are very, very important customers for us. And we develop this very high-quality fuels and lubricants through motorsport. Now, another great motorsport cooperation we have is with Penske team in NASCAR. And NASCAR, I don't know whether you follow that, but that is an absolutely amazing sport where you actually have stock cars, so cars that you could buy typically, you know, and use yourself, which are tuned up very, very fast. Extraordinary severe circumstances in a 500 miles race, and we are developing our lubricants and fuels for that. So in summary, this is basically we're using our labs, our technologists, our scientists to develop the best products in the world, but testing them on the racetrack and bringing them to the customers on the road, including Malaysia.
So then that's from a product development strategy,
yes,
and perspective.
Yeah.
But how about from a sales and marketing perspective, and you and retail in particular, how is that translation to motorsport?
So in retail, we're using these assets, as we call, to activate customers. So for example, at the MotoGP, we had 20,000 customers with us, which is one of the biggest activation we ever had. We're also using more and more in Formula One, for example, digital technology and digital communications to reach the younger generations. Because what you also see, those days are over that the younger generation would sit down for 2.5 hours and watch a Formula One race. So we're working with the Formula One management to make sure that, you know, for example, the Formula One events are far more digitally savvy and far more digitally friendly, because that is the way we see now the world is evolving and going towards, rather than just the traditional media.
You also use motorsport to develop talent within the company. How do you do that? And you've been doing that for a very long time.
Well, so basically, talent development for us is very essential. I mean, we do have 500,000 service champions and heroes all around the world. Clearly, we are demonstrating with motorsport the similarities between racing, leadership, and leadership and talent development. We're very proud of the talent that we have all around the world, a tremendously diverse talent, which is very similar to motorsport challenges we have. So we have a very rich talent base. I mean, from Malaysia, we have a significant number of talent working in our international operations and vice versa. So Shell is one of the most leading companies in terms of giving people, giving staff equal opportunities to develop in a big company.
Let's talk again about e-commerce. You've just started, for example, in Malaysia with a partnership with Lazada, and you've just set up your own online store. It's very basic in general. Basically, you just you can buy some lubricants. You can also buy some service packages, which can then be executed at your partner's or your own forecourts. What's the Shell overall global strategy for e-commerce?
So we are really pushing the boundaries in many, many different areas. Perhaps one of the most interesting disruption that we did to our own business, and we're now looking at it whether we scale it up globally, is a concept called Tap Up. In Rotterdam, Holland, if you are now using your mobile phone with the Shell Mobile Motorist app application, you can order fuel to your restaurant where you have dinner with your wife, and an electric transportation vehicle from Shell will arrive in an hour, fill up your car outside of your dinner, clean your windscreen. When you order the product, with that order you already also pay, because basically you have your PayPal or your Apple Pay set up in this system, which can, in our view, revolutionize quite a bit how fuel retailing is done. We call it basically a digital forecourt that we are able to actually get. Particularly important, for example, in some areas where we don't have full coverage with our retail network. And it turned out to be a significantly bigger success than we thought it would be. So that's the reason why we are now considering this to scale it up. So that shows a combination of digital technology, digital innovation with our core capabilities. And that is basically the direction we are trying to go down on the global scale.
Your revenue is down almost half from its peak of $421 billion in 2014. In 2016, it was down to $233 billion. Is Shell's best days behind it?
So you're referring to the group revenues, which are of course linked to the oil price. So in retail, which the business I'm running, and marketing, we're growing, which is really fantastic news. Since I am in this job for the last 3 years, we entered 10 new markets. The biggest one with direct business is Mexico, but we also introduced our brand in places like Portugal, Latvia, Cyprus, Serbia. Smaller markets, but very important markets for us. And we plan to grow the brand. This is the biggest branded operations you can find in the world. So we believe that Shell, as a very progressive company and covering a wide variety of different kind of activities, very, very well set for the energy transition and better positioned than our competitors to succeed and win.
Isvan, it was a pleasure having you on The Breakfast Grill. That was Isvan Kapitani, Executive Vice President, Global Fuel Retail from Shell. And you are with BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
That episode of BFM Breakfast Grill was brought to you by U-Mobile, where data hearts you.